Turkey would not let us renew our visas to live in that province anymore. And just with the increasing tension there and security risks, the elders of our church in Boise asked us to come home for a season and seek the Lord as far as continuing on in Turkey, if the Lord would open up those doors or perhaps serving elsewhere. And during that time of seeking the Lord led our path to stay in Boise for a season and be invested in the church there that has invested in us so much. And so we're very thankful for the opportunity that we have to serve now as full-time commended workers locally in Boise, Idaho, serving the body there. So that's a little bit about us. So yes, Romans 12, 21. This is a verse that I'm sure many of you know by heart. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a very simple verse, but yet so powerful if we were to live it by the grace of God. And this is a verse, my dear brothers and sisters, that we need to live in these days. Look around the world. I could ask the question, is there more evil or good in the world? It's not something that we can really quantify, but if we look around, boy, it sure seems like there's a whole lot more evil than good. In fact, the Apostle Paul did that in Ephesians 5:16. He says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Even back in his day, he just looked around and said, wow, these are some evil days that we're living in. And you know what? It hasn't gotten any better. Every time you turn on the news, you're confronted with the evil that's out there. I'm sure some of you were looking at the news today and you saw that at least 20 in Sutherland Springs, Texas, in a church, were killed when an armed man came in and opened fire on the congregation there who was gathering together to worship the Lord. More than 20 people killed in a little rural town in Texas, at a little Baptist church. The days that we live in are evil, and there is so much evil around us. And we were confronted with this on a daily basis as we saw the effects of the evil that's taking place in Syria and the war there, the violence, the bloodshed. We saw the effects greatest on the children. One particular instance really stands out. We were giving out aid in one particular place. And there was a young man and a woman who were walking towards us. The young man was carrying a baby in his arms. They were waiting in line to receive their bag of food. And then we were engaged with them over here. And then from around behind us came a little lady, my height, no higher. She wasn't very strong, thankfully, because in her hand she had a big rock. And she had it behind her back, and none of us were really paying attention to her. And she came up behind the young man with the baby in his arms. And with all of her strength, which, praise the Lord, wasn't much, she took that rock and hit the young man in the back of the head, the young man who was holding a baby in his arms. And we just stood there, shocked, frozen for a moment, not believing our eyes. And we eventually came to and managed to get the lady away and the rock out of her hand and separate the two. Thankfully, the young man was wearing a baby baseball cap, and so that took a little bit of the shock, and thankfully he didn't drop the baby or anything. It could have been a lot worse than it was. We thank the Lord for that. But I was so deeply impressed, not in a good way, in a bad way, by what I had just witnessed. Here were people who had lost everything and fled their country because of fighting and violence. And here they are now, fighting, still. And I felt so overwhelmed with the weight of the evil. But the Lord really spoke to me through this verse here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we're confronted with evil, we have two options. We can be overcome, or we can overcome with good. Now, let me make this very clear so there's no misunderstanding. As I talk tonight about overcoming evil with good, I am in no way talking about obtaining salvation or a right standing before God by doing good works. The Bible makes that very clear that it doesn't work that way. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is not obtained through what I have to offer God, through the works that I can do, the good works that I can do. It is not obtained by that. It is by grace through faith." But when we have accepted the gift of God and his grace through faith has been applied to our lives and we have been saved for our sins, my brothers and sisters, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So as followers of Jesus Christ, for those who have been cleansed of our sin, forgiven of all of our trespasses, because of his grace, he now says, "I have prepared good works for you beforehand for you to do." So as we think about not being overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good, this is what we're talking about. Our response as believers in Jesus Christ, as his followers, when we're confronted with evil, are we overcome or do we overcome evil with good? Because Paul wrote this verse to believers in Rome. So he was saying to believers, don't be overcome by evil, which means we can be overcome by evil. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." My brothers and sisters, we are in a spiritual battle. Every day, it rages around us. We're in a spiritual war. And with every evil we encounter, a battle is waged in that war. And our enemy is not a political party. Our enemy is not a politician. Our enemy is not a religion. It's not an ethnic group. Our enemy is the evil one, the ruler of the spiritual dark forces. He is our enemy. And yes, he uses all kinds of things. But people, those people that might be enemies to us or want to do us harm, they're not our real enemy. It's the power behind them, Satan. So we can win and we can lose battles in this war. What does it look like to lose a battle? Well, I would submit that there are two ways that we can lose the battle against evil when we have when we are confronted with evil. There's an active way and a passive way. The active way, I would say, is in the context here of Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verses 17 through 19. And Paul writes, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." So the active losing the battle of being confronted with evil, of being overcome by evil, is when someone does evil to you, you do evil to them. Like these two guys here. Someone smacks you over the head, you got a bigger hammer ready to smack them back. That is being overcome by evil. I would also submit that there's a passive way that we can be overcome by evil. And I think this, perhaps for believers, is the more dangerous one, the one that perhaps we struggle with more than reacting by doing an obvious evil for evil. And this is hiding in a corner. We're confronted, and this is what I wanted to do when I was confronted with this great evil of the little old lady smacking the guy in the back of the head with the rock. Now, there were circumstances that surrounded that, but that's another story. I felt like I just wanted to hide in a corner, say, this is too much. The evil is too great. My dear brothers and sisters, as the body of Christ in America at this time, this is a big danger for us. Where we look around the world and we see the direction that our country is going and the world is going, and we say, this is too much. I'm just going to hide back here. That is being overcome by the evil around us, which we are not to do. We are to overcome evil with good. So let's say a battle with evil happened, you're confronted with an evil, and let's say you're not overcome. You don't react back in anger. You don't try to take your own revenge. You don't necessarily go hide in a corner. Good. Excellent. That's great. Don't be overcome by evil. But that's not enough. The verse doesn't stop there. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So it's not enough just to not be overcome. The Lord wants us to overcome evil with good. And a good example of what this is can also be found in the context here. In verse 20, Romans 12, 20. "But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap burning coals on his head." Do not be overcome by evil. Don't seek your own revenge. Leave vengeance to the Lord. And overcome evil with good. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For those who do evil to you, do good to them, which is not our natural response, is it, my brothers and sisters? The sinful fleshly response is to take revenge, to do evil for evil. But that is not what we're called to do. Help meet the needs of those who would engage with you as enemies. For those who do evil to you, seek their good. Help to meet their needs. We see examples all throughout Scripture of evil being overcome by good. Think of the story of Joseph. Genesis 50, 15 through 21. If you would like to turn there, you can join me. Genesis chapter 50. I'm sure you know the story well. How much evil did Joseph's brothers do to him? They sold him into slavery. And while he was in Egypt as a slave, there was a lot of evil things that happened to him. At the end of it all, as you know the story, eventually Joseph's brothers came because of their need for food, because of the famine. So they came, they got grain, and eventually they found out who Joseph was, and that he was still alive. And then the family, Israel's family, was brought to Egypt, and then Israel died. And Joseph's brothers got a little scared. Their dad died, and they were wondering if Joseph was going to turn on them. Let's pick it up in verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong we did to him?" What are they saying here? What if Joseph repays us evil for the evil we did to him? So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father charged before he died, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your fathers.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place?'" What was Joseph saying here? Vengeance is the Lord's. Don't worry. Even though I'm sure he felt like you deserve some bad things. I'm not in God's place. Vengeance is the Lord's. That is for him to deal out. What a godly man Joseph was. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." And so the evil, the great evil that Joseph's brothers did to him, he did not take vengeance. He said, "I am not in the Lord's place." And because of the good that he did, the Lord used the situation to produce so much good. How many thousands, how many millions of lives were saved because the Lord brought good out of something that was meant for evil. We see this in the life of David as well. 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 20. We won't read the whole thing. But if you'd like to kind of flip on over there, you're welcome to. 1 Samuel 24. Again, here the story. The heading as you in my Bible says, David spares Saul's life. And how did that situation come about? Well, Saul wanted to kill David. David was anointed to be the king. Saul did not want this to happen. Saul was very jealous of David. Saul tried to kill David and was pursuing him. Let's look at verse 17. The rest of the story. So, an opportunity arises for David to take out Saul. Okay? So imagine this. Someone is after you, trying to kill you, and then an opportunity presents itself where you can take them out. Seems fair, right? I mean, they're trying to kill you, so. But again, vengeance is the Lord's to take. That is his place. And David understood this because he refrained from killing Saul. He refrained from killing the person who wanted him dead. Verse 17. All right, let's look at verse 16. When David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept. This is after it had come to light that David had the opportunity to take revenge against Saul, but did not. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you. You have declared today that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day. Now, behold, I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand." We see this principle playing out again, how through doing good, great evil was overcome. And the Lord rewarded his servant who was faithful in that. There's a story that I heard in Turkey. This was about 2 years ago now. In northern Iraq, the Islamic State had come into a village where there were some Christians. And they began to mark the houses of the Christians. And one by one, they would go through this village and tell the families, either convert to Islam or die. So, in one house, the family said, "No, we won't." And so later on that day, the Islamic State came back and they burned that house to the ground. Everyone got out except one 12-year-old girl. She was severely burned. And as she lay dying in a hospital, she told her mother, "Mother, I want you to forgive these people who have done this." And then she died. Can you imagine the faith that that little girl had? The Islamic State did a great evil. But this little girl did not want to repay them with evil. She wanted to do good to them and have her mother forgive. And because of this tragedy, in Turkey, in secular newspapers, this story was printed. And who knows the effect that that can have, that will have. All because this girl was not overcome by evil. Even though she died, she was not overcome by evil. And the tremendous evil that was done to her by God's goodness and sovereignty was turned into something that was a great good. In showing to the nation of Turkey, at least those who read the newspaper, that the Christians are different. And of course, the ultimate example for us is God himself. towards mankind. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Let's read verses 6 through 11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We, you and I, were enemies to God. And what did he do? He gave us his Son. He did the greatest good. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came to this earth. He took our sins on him. He paid for them on the cross. With his broken body and his shed blood, he died. We were his enemies. We were God's enemies. We had done so much wrong to him. But he loved us so much that he gave us his Son. That is the ultimate example. And in the greatest sense, it was by this, Jesus dying on the cross, that evil was overcome. Yes, there is still evil, much evil in the world. But because of Jesus, we have victory. And evil has been overcome. And one day, ultimately, will forever, ever be overcome. So I'd like to bring this home a little bit and ask ourselves some questions and examine our own hearts. We're in a spiritual warfare. It's very dark, just as the events that happened today down in Texas remind us of. We're in a battle against evil. And we're called to not be overcome, but to overcome evil with good. And as evil increases all around us and the world becomes darker, the body of Christ must rise even higher in doing good in this dark world. The refugee ministry that we were blessed to be able to be a part of was one example of that. We really, in some ways, thought of it as an anti-terrorist program in some ways. Because what the fighting and the evil had produced in Syria was hate and fear. And we tried to show Christ's love to them. There was so much violence that these people had lived through. And so we tried to bring peace to them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was instability on all levels. And we tried to help by bringing some semblance of order. Every day we face battles with evil Maybe sometimes they're big, like someone trying to kill you. Probably not here. But as we were reminded today in Texas, it could happen. Anywhere. But for most of us, the battles will be small. At least by our standards. But they're still battles. So let's think about this. If someone says something mean to me, says something unkind, acts impatient towards me, or disrespectful, says something cutting, or does something cutting, how am I going to respond? Right there. There's a battle. There's a confrontation with an evil that has been done. What's my response going to be? What's your response going to be? If we respond in kind by saying something mean back, or acting impatiently back, or hitting back, we've been overcome by evil. We've lost that battle. Or if we seek revenge, even passively, what do I mean by that? I think this is a danger for all of us. Let's say something says something mean to you or does something unkind to you, but you don't smack them back over the head. You don't do something unkind to them right there. But then you go to someone else and you say, man, this person did such and such to me. What we're really doing is taking our own revenge in a passive way. Are we doing that for good? Am I telling this person so-and-so did this to me for that person's good, to do good? No. This is one that I know I struggle with. We are not to avenge ourselves. We can overcome evil by doing good, by forgiving, by showing grace, by being patient, by letting the Holy Spirit produce fruit in our lives of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. We can overcome evil by doing good and by praying for people. Oftentimes, that's the greatest good that we can do. Someone cuts you off in traffic, instead of doing other things that you could do to the person or thinking other thoughts you could think about the person, why not pray for the person? Who knows what's going on in their lives? Now, I'm not saying that we excuse evil. Evildoers who break the law should be punished. And in fact, we continue on in Romans, the next chapter, chapter 13, talks about that. Talks about the government is there to punish evildoers and to reward the people that do good. So we're not excusing evil, but we don't have to be overcome by it. So in summary, if someone speaks or acts towards me in anger, and I react in anger towards them back, I have been overcome by evil. And we're not to do that as believers. We're to overcome evil with good. And we'll close with this thought here, because it's very important. You tell this to the world, and they'll think you're crazy. It doesn't make sense to them. What? Why would you do good to someone who does evil to you? That doesn't make sense. And it doesn't to them. And why can we do that? Is it because we're better than them? Somehow? Are we just that much better than them and good people that we can somehow take evil and not respond with evil, but overcome evil with good? No. We've looked at the last verse of chapter 12, which is kind of a summary statement of some powerful, powerful truths throughout chapter 12 of Romans. But Romans 12 starts out like this. Look at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, my dear brothers and sisters, it's not because we're better than anyone else that we cannot be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's because of the mercies of God and his work in our lives. Because left to ourselves, if someone does evil to me, I would do evil to them. That's the natural sinful response. But that is not the response as followers of Christ that we have been called to. So let's rely on the mercies of God as we live our lives. Let's present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices to him. Let's not be conformed to this world, but renew our minds daily. Let's rely on the mercies of God and live by faith. And moment by moment, present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices to God. Because anyone can repay evil for evil. And pretty much anyone can repay good for good. But my brothers and sisters, the Lord has called you by his mercies and his life in you to when you have an evil done to you, whether big or small, to overcome that evil by doing good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that you are a God who loves us so much, that even when we were your enemies, that you loved us and saved us when we turned to you. Lord, help us to be people who do good, not because we're trying to repay you for your goodness to us, because you have prepared good works for us to do. Help us to walk in them. Father, help us to imitate Christ. And if it came to it, for those who would even seek our death, that we would say, Father, forgive them. Help us not to be overcome by evil. Help us not to hide in a corner. Help us to trust you. Help us to be faithful. Help us not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good by your grace and through your mercies. Lord, thank you for this body here. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you would grow them. And I just thank you for the opportunity that you gave me to meet them, to fellowship with them. And thank you that we have the joy of knowing that one day we will all be together, the church from all over the world and every place will be together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in glory. We give you thanks in his name. Amen.